Good afternoon, this is Tanya Schultz with Social Chats Locals. I'm live streaming with my co-host, Vice Queen Maria. Hey Maria, how are you?
I'm great, and I am excited to have James Eccles on the show today. Hi James.
Hello.
Hey James.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How have you been?
Very busy. We're getting this big event together, so it's been pretty busy.
Yeah, it's actually next, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday.
Right, exactly. It's April 14th, noon to 6 p.m. In the Midtown Shops area, right off of 36th Street and Miami Avenue.
Before we talk a little bit about, can you tell us a little bit about the festival? Because you have a lot of, you have the mayor behind this. You have a lot of people behind this.
I think it was something that at this time was due. Everybody we've talked to has been really excited about it, and they really seem to understand the need for something like this. The goal of the actual festival is to promote civic mindedness in South Florida, but not in kind of a boring and a bland way. We want to make doing good more fun and more interesting. So what we decided to do was create a big outdoor festival. It's going to be all intense and something fun for the whole family that would bring people together and then promote philanthropic and charity organizations and cultural organizations and civic agencies and stuff like that. So we have over 80 organizations that will be there with tables promoting their mission, and they're going to be doing interactive activities and all sorts of fun. We'll have a stage with live music and dance performances. We're going to have Elastic Bond and Danger Flow, and Cleveland Jones is going to be playing too. We've got some flamenco dancers coming, and I believe some belly dancers as well. So wow. We'll have some circus acrobats there. I mean, it's going to be a kid zone, fun stuff. There's vendors selling stuff like that. So it's going to be a nice big party. And the idea really is to just, like I said, to help promote civic mindedness for people to come out. They can have a good time. They can learn about the various organizations that are out there. They may want to volunteer. They may need their services. When the organizations have a get on the email list, when they have a party, you can go to the party and, help support the organizations. We're not talking about asking people to, build houses in the boiling heat. We just need people to get a little bit more involved. And if everybody does a little bit, then that, does a lot altogether.
So, what organization are going to be involved in this that people are going to be taking a look at?
We have everything from very small organizations that are just a few people, some are just really starting out, all the way up to major organizations. The R Center will be there. I think Baptist Health is going to be there. The UM Life Sciences. It's a whole range. Motivational Edge, many of you probably know, will be there. That's a smaller youth services organization that brings music to underprivileged kids. So it's a huge broad variety, and we have a big list on the website because there's so many. There's over 80 of them. We may have up to 100. We'll have to see how many we can fit in. There's going to be, I believe, we'll have some interesting services going on. You can get a heart screening while you're there. So there should be a lot of stuff to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And I like the name too. For Landfill Cat Fest.
That was kind of one of those late night, long meeting, end of the meeting came around, and we went, hey, we don't have a name. And so we were pitching names, and that one came out, and it was the best of the batch. But I think it really does encapsulate what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I was very impressed because I saw it, I remember when you guys first were talking about it, and then I saw it as it developed. It was very impressive. And then actually, you do a lot for the community, James. I mean, life is art. There's a lot.
Yeah, we have Philanthropy Fest is kind of an outgrowth of the other things that we do. We have a non-profit organization called Life is Art that we've been running for about 3 years now. And, it's an event, production company that produces arts events, and we do art shows and parties, and, we do educational seminars. And, we also have Soul of Miami, which, is an event website. So we see all of the events going on around town. And we really got the impression that a lot of these other organizations, we run our own nonprofit. It's doing okay. It's a part-time thing that we do outside of our regular job, but it's still doing pretty well. We always have these really fun events. And we noticed that not all organizations were faring well. Some of them have even some larger organizations. Hands on Miami went out of business. You know, so some of these organizations can't even survive. And you know, we thought, well, we can share our success and put on something big to help promote all of these organizations all at once, rather than trying to do one at a time. And we teamed up with an organization called Miami Crawl. They're fairly new. I think they've been around for maybe less than a year. And their thing is to do crawls, like pub crawls or art crawls or you know, different things like that, to raise money for organizations. And they've run they've already raised thousands of dollars for other organizations just through the pub crawls they've already done. So we teamed up with them because we knew we couldn't do it all ourselves, and they've been really spectacular partners. And you know, it's really come together.
Yeah, I'm on your website, and wow, can I say that the list of organization that's involved is like,
yeah,
you weren't kidding. I think anyone that's nonprofits involved here.
Yeah, there's so many. We've been really, really. I mean, it's been really amazing. You know, we met with Mayor Regalado, and he was very receptive. It only took one meeting to get him on board. He was at a very short meeting. He pitched him the idea. He was like, "Oh, that sounds great," and sent us a nice letter of support. Same thing with the Knight Foundation. They were very quick to come on board. We just had one meeting with them, and they gave us a big sponsorship. The Miami CRA in this area, they gave us a nice big sponsorship as well because they understood that it's really a community building thing. So, you know, and Mayor Jimenez from the county as well, he jumped right on board. So we've got some really, really good supporters, and I mean, that's the kind of thing that makes this possible. We had this wild idea to do something, but you can't do it without some big supporters, and they have all really, really come through for us. And like you said, the number of organizations that have signed up, I know we're going to end up turning some away because, you know, we only have so much space, but we've got more coming, more than here, even on the website. I think we've got over 60 on the website already. And just, you know, people have been coming forward, and I don't know how they're hearing about it. You know, we're trying to get the word out, but it's just the word is spreading. You know, the word is spreading, and I think everybody really understands the need for something like this. So we're excited.
Well, you know what I love is I'm on your website, and I'm looking at all the organization lists, but then you have a comment, and someone else is trying to, like, get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Rose. I love that,
yeah.
With the WWEE network. So that's
yeah.
Really fantastic.
Oh, I think they signed up too. So it's been good. You know, it's been crazy.
And this is like, how many people are you guys expecting? It looks like you have a lot.
it's hard to tell for a first year. We're hoping for a few thousand.
Okay.
If we get a 2,000 or 3,000, we'll be really excited. If we get a 500 to 1,000, we'll be happy with that. You know, it's about getting started right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's coming together kind of last minute, but we're getting it all together. We'll just hope to do the best we can. We're on your show. I had an interview with WLRN the other day that
uh-huh.
aired.
Awesome.
We've got a piece in the Miami Herald coming out. The city is helping us promote it. So, and all of our friends, of course, are helping to get the word out. So it's just getting going. So, and it's really exciting.
Well, yeah, because you know, it just shows again. Miami is a very it's a big city, but it's very close knit community where everyone is working together and to
exactly.
make a difference. And that's beautiful because you know you don't get that too much anywhere
right.
in the country.
It does seem to really be changing in Miami. You know, a lot of times for years. It had kind of a superficial reputation, and you know, when we moved here 10 years ago, we met a lot of really great people, and didn't find it to be that superficial at all. And I see more and more. You know, we go out a lot, we network a lot, we go to a lot of these charity events and art events, and I see more and more people who are trying to do something for the community and trying to come together to do something for the community. My friend Ian Welsh, who runs Motivational Edge, is a perfect example. He saw a need for these underprivileged kids to have more music in their lives, and so he started his own nonprofit. Miami Crawls, same way. The girls who started Miami Crawls, they saw a need for this sort of organization. organization to help the other organizations. They started their own organization. You know, there's so many people that are doing so many things in both in community organizations and in cultural organizations. You know, there's new cultural organizations popping up. The Night Arts Challenge is always, you know, every year they give away millions of dollars to cultural organizations, big and small, all the way down to individual artists. So, it's, you know, I think Miami is really changing for the better, and we're really hoping to help, you know, push it forward.
Yeah, what, and I think also that's part of the media, because they don't, everyone just wants to hear bad news, and no one wants to hear good news, and there is so much that's positive about Miami that you know, always, but it's always in the wings, you know, it's in the backdrop, it's never in the forefront, and so I'm glad that you're getting this media coverage, because that really goes to show, you know, what grassroots efforts can do.
Yeah,
in any community, and that, you know, there are a lot of really cool people here who are doing great things.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We actually have one of the employees from Miami New Times is on our steering committee, and he's helping us, you know, get coverage in New Times as well. And he's helping us in other ways, you know, putting stuff together. So I mean, there is that issue with the media of sensationalism, and that's why, you know, when we started Life is Art and when we decided to do Philanthrofest, we decided to do an event company and do events rather than say opening up you know, an ongoing gallery or you know, a service center or something like that, because by doing a big event it is a media sensation. You know, the mayor is going to come out and say a little thing, and we'll have music, and you know, it'll be great for photographs because the kids will be playing. So you really need those organizations that are working day to day and paying their rent, and you know, they have their location, and you have to have those. But it is hard for the media to kind of get excited about that, because you know, it's just, there you go, okay, Miami Mission is back to work today. And so by creating kind of an exciting event, it gives us that ability to then create a media sensation, so that, you know, it'll get people talking, and this way we get a media sensation around almost 100 organizations, you know. So that was kind of why we decided to go with the event style of business, because we saw that exact thing, that you really have to kind of like do something wild for the media to pay attention.
So are you guys, is the Philanthrofest, is it a 501(c)(3)? Because I'm reading your press release.
It's not exactly. It's technically an LLC right now. And it's just a kind of an outgrowth of Life is Art and Miami Crawl. So those two organizations are the ones actually producing it. It's not really its own entity yet.
Okay.
Under a fiscal sponsorship by the Miami Foundation, which is a large nonprofit organization that helps other nonprofit organizations, and it's a little bit of a technical term, but basically we operate under their 501(c)(3). So if people donate to Philanthrofest, they actually donate through Miami Foundation, and they'll still get their tax write off, okay. And the money goes to us.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and they've been really helpful. Like I said, they help a lot of other nonprofit organizations, and so they've been sending out the information to their partners about signing up, and I think that's how we got quite a few of our organizations signed up through them, and also through Catalyst Miami, which is another organization that helps other organizations. They do a lot of seminars. Actually, our friend, you guys know, Aubrey Swanson, was just did a seminar there about social media for nonprofits.
Yeah, that's a nonprofit is having. It's great that you guys are doing this, because you know, a lot of nonprofits are having a hard time surviving in this economy.
Yeah, that's true. And we want to continue the programming after the show with educational programming and such like that. So we want to do some webinars and have some you know, some content on the website. You know, talking about how to do social media and other things like that will help the organizations, especially a lot of smaller organizations. You know, they don't have the time or the manpower to really put into, hiring a PR agency or something like that to train them to do it. So we want to give them an option to do that. We'll probably do some in-person seminars as well, and we may team up with some of the other organizations to also, help them do seminars and just offer some assistance to the organization. So, you know, they'll come to the festival, they'll promote their mission, they'll gather some names for their email list, and then throughout the year, we can give them some support to continue that outreach, you know, to continue to push their mission.
Yeah,
and I really think, you know, we don't have gargantuan goals. Our goals are mainly to kind of change the mindset of people so that something very simple like, you know, you're going out for happy hour on a Wednesday night, and there's an organization that's having a party at, you know, one of the local lounges. So rather than going to your regular watering hole to have a drink, why not go to the party for the nonprofit and help them raise money? You know, those are the kind of simple changes that we really want to do.
Like History Miami.
Exactly. History Miami does their wind down on Wednesday nights. And, you know, so we're not asking people to dig ditches in the desert. We just want them to make small changes. If everybody does just a little bit, you know, it's just going to make a huge change. And I love the quote, a rising tide raises all ships. So even if you yourself or some person out there listening is not currently suffering from, you know, a disease or from poverty or whatever, if we help everybody out, if we help the people who are needy out, then that helps everybody, because that increases the economic development in Miami, that increases the jobs in Miami, if we help education, if we help, those in need, that helps us all, because that creates a stronger economy in our region, and that's good for everybody, you know?
No, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Because, and that's so unfortunate that other cities aren't doing the same. And hopefully, you know, once this takes off, the people see this, you know, they would do the same for their city. Because I think that's a brilliant idea. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
I love
that. It really was an outgrowth of what we've done. You know, like I said, we'd gone to a lot of other organizations, fundraising parties or, you know, whatever, and we noticed that, and part of it is because, you know, we're lucky enough to have an event production background. That's what we used to do, and we used to be entrepreneurs. Well, we're still entrepreneurs, but we used to own our own business. So we learned marketing. We learned all of that stuff. Other organizations are focused on their mission. You know, they have mission specialists running the organization. So they may be health organizations, and they're run by, you know, health professionals. Or if they're poverty organizations, they're run by people who, you know, social service people. And so they're not. They don't hire people necessarily with the skills necessary to promote their mission and to, you know, to host good fundraising events. That's because they're focused on their mission. So we thought we can help them do that because that's what we do. We produce events. We promote, you know, so we can get together and help them that way. And that, you know, I don't have any skills and I can't do surgery. I'm not a social worker. But I do have this one skill to, you know, to promote and to create events. And so we use our skills the way we can use our skills. If everybody gets on it, then, you know, it's good for us all.
I think that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. And then you have sponsorship packages.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a little info about that? Let's chat a little bit about it so that
those are listening. Well, this is one cool thing I really like about this particular event. And not to take away from anybody else, but the fun thing about if you're a sponsor of PhiloFest, you know, if you sponsor like most of the events, you're sponsoring one nonprofit organization, which is awesome. But if you sponsor PhiloFest, you're sponsoring like 80, you know, so, your money is multiplied if the money that you put into the sponsorship is multiplied in terms of its impact because it impacts all of these organizations. And your reach is also multiplied because all of the organizations will be co-promoting it with us, you know, through their channels, through their email, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. So that, as a sponsor, your face, your name, your logo is going to get out there in front of all of those organizations' followers, not just one organization. So, I think it's a really good way to spend sponsorship dollars. And I'm a as an entrepreneur, as a businessman, I'm a big fan of sponsorship. I think that community marketing is one of the best ways that businesses can spend their money, their marketing money. You know, it's a great way to get your word out and really cement, especially for local businesses, really cement your place in the community. And we've had, I mean, I hesitate to say this because we're always happy to get more money, but we are covered. I mean, we got enough sponsorship to pay for the event, and we're really excited about that. We also got some private donations, you know, some personal donations, and fundraising in this economy is really hard, and we've been really gratified for everybody who stepped up and helped us, you know, make our budget on this one and help make it happen, because we couldn't do it without them. It's not like we're rich.
Yeah, cause so you only allow one major sponsor?
One presenting sponsor, yeah.
One presenting mm-hmm. sponsor? Wow.
And then we have, that's our one presenting sponsor. We didn't get one this year, but it turned out okay anyway. Mm-hmm. And then we have category sponsors because the way it's going to be set up is there'll be large tents rather than a bunch of little 10x10s. There are going to be about eight or ten large tents.
Uh-huh.
And each tent will then be a gathering of organizations of a similar type. So like one tent might be for youth organizations. One tent might be for cultural organizations, health organizations, stuff like that. So each tent will be kind of themed, and then you can sponsor, you know, one of those tents, and then this will be like the Knight Foundation cultural tent, you know,
yeah.
Something like that. So that's our category sponsors. Then we, you know, sponsorships all the way down to, I think, 500 is our lowest sponsorship, which still gets you a booth and gets your name out there. And, you know, so we wanted to make it accessible to local businesses who may not have a big budget, but they still want to be involved. So we have some $500 sponsorships for that kind of a business, all the way up to, I believe, the presenting sponsorship is $15,000. And then we'll, you know, for next year, we'll reevaluate and see if our pricing is good. Because we want it to be, we're not about asking for handouts. We want to make sure that we give good value for what we're asking. You know, we want to make sure that if you're a sponsor, you get good coverage, you get good community relationship from it. It's not just about us helping the charities, helping the nonprofits. We also want to help the businesses because the businesses are, you know, what build the community. They're the ones that give us the jobs. They create the economic engine that makes the community grow. So we're always careful. As business people ourselves, we understand both sides of the coin there for a nonprofit. We're not just asking you to just give us money for negative. Although if you want to give us money just because you're a good person, we would love that. That's always acceptable. But we want to make sure that we give back as well, and that as a sponsor, a business gets good value for their money. So,
well, really, if you think about it, I always, you know, when I talk to people about doing something with Women in Communication, HWC South Florida, what you're offering is really a media campaign for all these sponsors, depending what tier they're on. But, if you figure out all the people that's involved and all the different nonprofit that's involved and all the amount of Twitter and Facebook that everyone's involved and all the news you're going to get, all your sponsorship, what people who are getting involved with you for sponsorship is really think down about it. Instead of putting an ad in a newspaper, they're actually buying a media campaign.
Exactly.
So if you want to put it in a simple term, that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
exactly.
And you can actually, compare the research and ROI on it because pretty much, you know, if you put an ad in a newspaper, how much, how can you say that you got the return on that? But if you join this event for this festival with all the nonprofit that's involved, which is, a lot, and with everyone that's involved in your board with their social media outreach and their friends, I mean,
yep.
you can't even put a value in because it's a lot, actually. So
the
value is there. The value of what you guys are offering is there for sure. So, but I noticed something also that you have. You guys are planning to do a VIP kickoff.
Yes, we're gonna have a VIP kickoff. It's on April 11th, and it's kind of a media thing. It's for the organizations that are participating, for their executives and directors, and for the media, and the mayor's going to be there to speak. You know, so it's kind of like it's really a gathering so that the organizations can meet us and meet each other, you know, before the day of the event, and just network together. And it gives the media a chance to come, and if they want to interview any of the executives or any of us or any of the politicians who are behind us, I think we have several commissioners coming, and I believe both mayors are coming, but Jimenez and Regalado, and you'll have to pardon my pronunciation on those names, that's probably wrong, but it's the best I can do there. I think it's gonna be a nice party there.
No, I think so too. No, I just saw that. I was like, I wanted to make sure people know about it, and whoever's listening.
And that's part of the you know, the benefit that we're offering for the organizations as well, because it is a chance for them to get, I mean, how often do the executives for those organizations really get a chance to go and, you know, and meet other people who they might have some synergy with? You know, there might be other organizations that they don't know about that they would meet there and you know, learn about it. Maybe they can, you know, send clients back and forth or send supporters back and forth or whatever, you know. So it's a chance for them to kind of meet in a nice setting. It's over at the Wynwood Walls, and they've donated their space, so, you know,
that'll
be a nice place to have a nice little party.
Yeah, I'm telling you, are you going to be able to fit all those people in there?
Well, it shouldn't be too big. We're not expecting that many. Maybe 100 people, 150 or so.
Yeah, but still, with all the organization that you're involved, on your
the Wynwood Wall space, you know, it's gorgeous. It's out there in the kind of in the area behind Wynwood Kitchen and Bar, and you know, it's all covered in really cool mural, and so they've donated that space for us.
That's a great venue.
Mm-hmm.
I had dinner there about a month ago, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think that's just the whole thing. And then, what's a steering committee?
Mm-hmm.
You have to, under here it says founders and directors, steering committee. Can you?
I haven't put the steering committee up yet. The steering committee, you know, this has been a really kind of a fast project. We put it together in less than 4 months. And, I mean, the idea started, I believe, back in maybe November or December, but you had Christmas and New Year's and all that stuff. And so we didn't really get started on it. So I think we had our first meeting with Mayor Regalado on January 17th, I believe. So, you know, we put this thing together really fast. And we put together the steering committee just literally a few weeks ago, and just to bring some more people on to help us out. And I think we have 15 or 20 people on the steering committee. Like I said, one of the guys from the New Times is there. We have people on the steering committee from the Miami Science Museum, the Coral Gables Museum. What else? The Children's Museum, I believe. And you know, and then a lot of people who just volunteered to be on the steering committee just out of the goodness of their hearts. You know, they wanted to help out more than just, like, you know, showing up and passing out flyers. They really wanted to do more up front. So they just joined up. We have someone from Wells Fargo on the steering committee as well.
Nice.
So, you know, it's a great group of people, and they've been really helpful. We have a bunch of PR people on it, thank goodness. They've been really working hard, you know, getting all the media on board and getting this coverage out there. So, you know, that's the one thing we really need is that media coverage.
Yeah, that helps a lot. And plus, you know, you have all that, you have a lot of stuff going on Twitter, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm following you guys, so I thought it was kind of interesting. And then you have a whole group of on a page that says Who We Are. I noticed Sebastian's on here. That's awesome that he's involved.
Yep.
Awesome.
And Sebastian is helping us. He's helping with the social media content for the nonprofits. He's actually offering, I believe, his initial webinar for free for participating nonprofits, so they can get to help them get started on their social media. For those, you know, for those that need it, they can sign up on his website, and, you know, if they mention that they're with PhilantoFest, then they get that for free. And, you know, it's just a good way to get them started. And we'll be adding more content like that, as I said, over the year. He'll be helping to coordinate that, and we've got some other folks who are offering to, you know, to donate some content. Everybody's really come forward and, you know, offered to do a lot for this. So it's been really, really gratifying for me, you know, because it was my idea. I didn't know if anybody was going to like it or not. And so it's very gratifying for me.
James, you do a lot for the community. I mean, you do a lot, and you and Annette. So I'm so happy that you guys have gotten so many people helping you, because, you know, like, yeah, I said, you know, it only takes one idea, but also if you're doing something that to help the community, that's the best part of that idea. And mm-hmm. I'm thrilled that you guys have all these people behind you.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
Well, good. Maria, are you going to be there live streaming? You should live stream.
I might actually be out of town, but I have been helping James in other ways.
Awesome.
Yeah, Maria's been doing some behind-the-scenes
stuff. Yeah.
So before we go, I want to ask you, who came up with your logo? I think I love it.
Do you really? Honestly, cool. That was me. It was just kind of ripped it out pretty quick. You know, we needed something, like I said, we put this together really fast. We needed something quick. We had to write a letter to somebody to, you know, get their support. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a logo. And, about 2 hours later, I was like, here, this will work, you know. I wanted something bright. And so that's why it's kind of got the stylized sun behind it, you know. We wanted something to kind of reflect Miami like that, the blue sky. Mm-hmm. And just something fun, because it's, you know, it's a family festival. We want this to be something that everybody's going to come out to. So, you know, and then I like the little square. The P heart F was one of our founding committee's members. Her name's Naomi, and she's young, and she does a lot for the community. She volunteers on a lot of stuff, and we kind of drug her on board as our volunteer director. And she had this idea to make the little P heart F, which is so I love that.
Yeah, I love it too. I think it's great. And then your flyer is fantastic.
Thank you.
With all the different organization sponsorships involved. And And you actually got, like, you're getting free samples of Perrier water, vitamin water, mm-hmm. and Vita Coco.
Yeah, they all came on board and you know, got really excited. They're going to have, like, big tubs of stuff out. You know, it's middle of April. It's gonna be warm, so
yeah,
it's good to have that. We'll also have drink sales and stuff like that. But we want to give people a something fun to come out to, and it's all free. The whole festival is free. Just come out and, you know, enjoy.
Oh, the festival is free. Wow, that's fantastic. It's a free festival. Oh, there's no charge. So there's gonna be. It's also gonna be an art show, and you have vendors. Mm-hmm. Like one big party, actually.
Yeah, exactly. There's gonna be a big art show. It'll be in this nice big tent, kind of all, not really inside, but under the tent, so it'll be shaded. Uh-huh. And we have around 20 South Florida-based artists are going to be showing their work, and most of them will be there so you can meet the artists and talk to them. We're going to have a kids' activity area. The Miami Science Museum is helping coordinate that. A lot of the kids' organizations, of course, that are there will be bringing activities for the kids, so there'll be a lot of fun stuff for the kids to do. You know, and then for the adults, there'll be the music and the art and, you know, just a nice place to hang out. The vendors will be selling some fun stuff. We've got jewelry vendors and, you know, people selling t-shirts and so all sorts of fun stuff.
Cool. I'm excited for you. So let me get you going, but I want to say thank you for calling in and sharing your info. And before we go, can you tell us how to follow you on Facebook, like you on Facebook,
sure.
And follow you on Twitter?
Yes. So the website is philanthrofest.com, and I'll spell that once. PHILANTHROFEST. Philanthrofest.com. The Twitter is the same thing, at philanthrofest, and the Facebook is facebook.com/philanthrofest. So we try to keep it all the same.
Yeah,
you can follow me personally. I'm on Twitter at Soul of Miami. and follow Miami Crawls at Miami Crawls. They do lots of fun stuff too, so I highly recommend following those guys and get involved with what they're doing as well.
Fantastic. Thank you, James.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for
sharing.
Thank you, James, for
being here. You know, it's just really great what you're doing. I think it's going to be awesome. And one step towards bigger and even better things.
Absolutely.
James, give Annette a hug for me and tell her I say hi, and hope to see you guys soon.
All right, you too. Hope to see you soon.
Okay, take care.
Take care, James.
Bye.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what an exciting event.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, I didn't realize that they had that many, you know, like, I've been seeing their stream on Twitter, but I didn't realize that they had that many people involved. It's like, the list was a mile long. And, if, you know, when I first saw it, I was like going, what is this? And then I was just following, just kind of like, see what's going on, and then actually James sent me an invite to it on Facebook, and I was reading it, and then when you tweeted this morning that we're going to have him on, then I was just like, oh, cool. He just sent me an invite, and I was just looking at all the different people that's involved, all the organization. That's huge. They got like over 75 people, it looks like. 75 organization, nonprofit.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So what have you been up to, Maria? We have about 15 minutes, so I figured I can catch up with you.
I've been staying out of trouble. And also, not that I ever get in trouble, really. That's just quite a euphemism. I went to the beautiful Sunday afternoon. Did we have...
Sunday was nice.
I went to Croquet and Cocktails, which was a fundraiser for the History of Miami Museum.
Uh-huh.
For the Flagler Society, which consists of young professionals, ages 21 through 45. And, I barely made it, right?
Don't say that.
But I was covering it for One Sotheby. So it's a really nice event every year. You play croquet and it was in beautiful Brickell Key. It was an absolutely gorgeous afternoon. Mm-hmm. There's a lawn behind the Mandarin Hotel, but it's also part of the whole Brickell Key community where you can walk around. It's a public space. So it was just gorgeous. And people were playing croquet, actually, and we were having cocktails. So that was nice. And then on Saturday, I went to She Streams to the conference.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How was that?
It was good. I wasn't there for very long. I was there for my panel. I presented on producing quality content.
Uh-huh.
And then I stayed for one of the last sessions, which was the one that I was tweeting to you about Wantitu, which is fantastic, or seems like a fantastic content management program for video production, like doing shows. You know, like taking, like let's say if we wanted to take this to the next level and we wanted to have, like on CNN, you know, where you have two guests on the show on video, but it can embed sponsorship logos and then you can save it and embed that show,
mm-hmm.
On a website. So it was really quite illuminating on what they're doing with that technology.
Yeah, I followed them. I was going to take a look at them and see what they're about and stuff. So,
yeah, you know, it's not free, and mm-hmm. I mean, major companies are using this technology, and mm-hmm. it's not cheap. Okay, but for anyone who's, I mean, I was really blown away with what you could possibly do if you sign up to use it, and all you need is a webcam, or your laptop. So it's like Skype and Bambuser and US Stream on steroids. Boom. You know, like, there's so much you can do. And there's a lot of, control, so you can have different people calling in from different places, and then you as the producer, you just press a button and say, okay, it's your turn, now you talk, mm-hmm. you know, and wow, it's just really incredible. So
they're almost, it looks almost kind of like Spreecast.
Like what?
Like Spreecast.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, when you get a chance, actually, I was going to see if you want to do one, but I want to take a look at Watch YouTube, too, also. But it's almost exact same thing as Spreecast, but I'm not quite sure if they're mobile. Because Spreecast right now is not mobile, so you can't, like, turn on your cell phone and stream yourself onto it. But they do have the embedded, and they have the, I got to look at that, because one of the Watch YouTube's thing is live events panel. You know, I want to take a look at that because right now, Spreecast, you can only do it, you can only, you know, you have to be in front of your webcam. You can't, like, be using your mobile
phone. Okay.
But
I think you might be able to use your mobile, on, like, you might be able to live broadcast from your mobile as well.
Yeah, that's where, that would be a good thing.
And I think, I mean, look, it has really great journalistic applications.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to actually go through a TV network.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, because you do this on your own. You don't have... It's not on their network. You do it on your network. Is that
well,
right?
Well, no. Actually, everything gets stored on their cloud.
Okay. It's always on their cloud. Okay.
So that's probably part of what you're paying for is your storage space as well.
Yeah, that's a lot of storage.
But, you know, how great would it be if we wanted to have... You know, if we wanted to do a visual version of social chat. No, not that people want to see our faces, and not that I want to show my face,
yeah.
Because I'm here like I'm in my bra right now.
Are you kidding me? I do the Spreecast, and Mark Lehman.
I'm not even dressed right now.
You know what I'm saying? Mark Lehman makes fun of me, because when I'm on a Spreecast on Friday, when I'm on a computer, I have like 6 or 7 windows, and I'm reading everything as fast as I can. And while I'm talking, but my problem is when I read, I tend to move my lips like I'm reading. So,
yeah.
So, you know, Mark Lehman,
I mean,
is like...
Here's the thing. You can choreograph your show so that while it's like a TV show. You can show a YouTube video and switch between the webcam and, you know, your face. Or whatever, you know, you can also have it set up, any webcasting camera,
mm-hmm.
you have it set up so maybe you have an actual studio space and you're sitting down and properly, you know, like a show. But then you can switch to a YouTube video, you can switch to a photograph. I mean, you can do all of these things. It's not just a talking head.
Yeah.
And then that whole thing gets merged into one file, and then that gets embedded. And that's what really impressed me, because you can actually produce a proper TV show
mm-hmm.
with all of these embeddable things. And then you can also have advertisers, you know, let's say somebody wants to sponsor a segment of your show for 15 minutes. You can have their logo floating up on top of, you know, the screen or whatever. So there are lots of... possibilities there.
Well, let's definitely take a look at it, because, you know, I bought that. I'm working on this. That's been taking up my nights, actually, is socialjats.tv. So it's some. I'm looking at all the different apps, and so when you tweeted this out to me on Saturday, I was like, cool. So I want to take a look at it because I really wanted, you know, to utilize Spreecast and utilize different things and have just channels running with embedded from different station. It's not going to be about me. I kind of like want to start it. I have people that want to use the space. So I'm just trying to see different apps. But is there any way we can get you to come on a Friday Spreecast so you can check it out and then you can tell me the difference? Not this Friday, but you know, whatever Friday you're available. Because it's going to be like Cynthia.
Probably enough for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's fine, because it's like Cynthia Seymour and Debbie Erickson, who is a book publishing, she's a specialist, she's out of Canada, and Susie Rosado, she's in Miami, so we all get on, and then we have different people on all at once, so I just want you to try it out, and then and to be part of it.
But you have to moderate those conversations.
Usually it's Cynthia Seymour or I moderate a little bit, but I during the time that we're doing it, we're live streaming on socialchats.net at the same time. So we literally, like, if you had information, they load it up, so it gets posted as we chat. So either Cynthia or Debbie or Susie, you know, they usually handle it.
No, but I mean, like, in a video context, you have to have the STFU button. Because, think about that for a second.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that again.
The STFU button.
Okay.
The shut the up button.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the questions that I asked at Keystream, was you can control, as the moderator of the show, who anybody can join, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can set permissions. It can be private or it can be public. But if somebody wants to join, you give them permission to pop in to the screen. Mm-hmm. But if they are a troll or someone that you don't know, that, you know, that you can just shut them off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have that. Yeah. Whoever sets up the show is the one in control, and then each person that is originally the guest or the host of the show gets to be asked if they are, you know, like, we figure out, okay, we're going to have four people on, so we're going to ask them, do you want to co-produce? And if you want to co-produce, then you have the control panel also. But if once you're done and you hit end, it ends everybody. So that's where like we meet on a Tuesday night. Like tonight we'll have a meeting and we'll go through it real quick. But actually we had like four different multimedia women who from all over the country come on also last Friday. So it was pretty interesting. I just thought that was it's kind of like what Cheeto is, but I'm kind of curious to see how the cameras work, you know, like how everything works with this platform compared to Spreecast.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll definitely continue exploring this.
Yeah, because I think this would be awesome as a...
Well, there's great potential there. I mean, yeah. I was already thinking, you know, we could have town hall meetings, with the Matheson Hammock issue. I could do, you know, fishing, like we could do blogging seminars with this technology. We could talk about fishing. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things we could do.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I think there's a lot of stuff going on.
You know, I also would, you know, this was the premiere of River Monsters this weekend, so obviously that was a big deal in the River Monsters community. And so I actually had already seen the show about a week and a half ago on the press web. So I posted about that, but it's on my blog now. And one of the things I was thinking about was like, well, if I can't get Jeremy Wade to interview him in person, if I had this technology, this would be really easy because I'm sure he has a laptop and all I have to do is turn it on, you know, and I give him an access code and it's like a conference call. And then the interview gets recorded. So these are the types of things that, it's just taking what we already do in a podcast version or an audio version to another level, where you can choreograph. And I got very excited about that because, I mean, I love interviewing people. That's my thing.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, I just thought, wow, if I could do something like that in the future.
No, definitely.
I think it'd be great. And a great way to, you know, do stories and actually tell stories and not just have it be a static YouTube, two people standing in front of a camera type of thing.
No, definitely. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look, I'll read up into this and I'm gonna have to sign up just to see what it does. I just like stuff like that, so, you know. But, well, that was a great chat today with James Eccles. I really love him and Annette. They have such good energy. They're always doing stuff for people. So whatever we could do to help them, let me know.
They are wonderful people. They're great friends and wonderful people. And I'm more than happy to support what they're doing. They have tireless energy. I wish I had their genes.
I know. I always ask.
And I do a lot, but you know, it's like they're like tireless. They go out and they cover everything, and they just, they're great. They're great, and they have great hair.
Yeah, they do have great hair.
Miami, you probably have the best social media hair in Boca. You're on my top list of social media people with good hair.
And then
there's John Peter Mahoney, and then of course Annette and James. They have fantastic hair. So I know that's really superficial, but it's true. Oh, and Tanya, I went and got highlights. I'm like more blonde now.
Wow.
So just let the fun roll in.
Yes. Oh, I was going to compliment. I'm going to give you one thing, too. There was a picture of you taken that you posted. I thought it was so beautiful, and so did everyone else. And it was just, I'm just going to pull it up real quick.
Yeah, Blanca took that picture on
Yeah, it's your profile Friday. Picture.
We went out to eat with Carlos Miller and one of his friends who was visiting from out of town, a journalist friend of his. And I had just had the hair done. So, you know, of course it looked fantastic. 3 days later, it looks like crap.
Don't worry. I get picked on by Mark Lehman about my hair. So he's Mark thinks.
Oh, Mark is another one. Yeah, you and Mark are in competition for the hair.
I knew it. I'm sorry, what?
You and Mark are in competition for the hair up in Palm Beach County.
I think he's envious of my hair because he was teasing me about what's going on with my hair last Friday.
Well, maybe Mark could use some layers. What do you think?
I think you should cut it off. It's like a big joke with all of us. They're trying to get him to cut it off, and I think that he should just cut it off. It'll grow back. He's a guy.
Yeah, but to grow that long like that takes forever.
I know. I agree, but I just think it's funny because he's funny that we're talking about long hair because he was like teasing me about my hair, so I have to tease him back because he's actually listening now because he randomly sends me emails on Facebook while he listens to the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Mark, don't cut your hair off. That's your trademark.
He and I are in competition with our hair here. Well,
no, seriously, we have some really great people in our local tech and social media community who have really great hair. I just, you know, like really long, impressive hair. I mean, that's just, it's neither here nor there, you know, but it's just funny that.
So now are you going to go blonder or what are you doing with your hair? Are you just going to just keep it highlighted?
I wanted to get rid of the red hair. And so I went to the salon and I said, look, I don't want to be blonde like Annette is blonde, you know, but I just, please just give me a nice, more like honey colored as opposed to reddish.
Yeah.
And he did a great job. He did a great job because he didn't spend like 4 hours on it.
Uh-huh.
But he did spend a lot of time. You know, I had like 500 foils on my head.
Oh, wow.
It was transmitting from Cuba. Fabio Marti was coming in through my head. And some alien messages from up there. And then he was, this is like this, it was this, it was called Beach Club, in South Miami, South Beach Club or Beach Club Salon, right here on Sunset Drive. And he was like this older Cuban guy, not even gay. he was really good. I've never had this happen to me before, where you actually stand up to get your hair cut.
Really?
Like, no, stop. And it was like a tango, and he's like, move your shoulders this way, and then turn around. And then he was like cutting, like, it was really dynamic, you know.
He was dancing with you while he cuts your hair.
And it was like a tango dance.
Wow.
Step this way, do this, turn around, do this, you know. And then it was like, it really looked great. He did a great job.
Wow. Yeah, I always have to stand up and get my hair cut because that's the only way they make sure it's even.
And then I sat down and then he blew dried it some more and he's like, stand up again. And then he cut a little bit more. they do this, and he gave me exactly what I wanted. You know how rare that is when you go to the salon?
Oh,
and they give you exactly what you want.
Well, good. I'm glad that he did a good job.
No, I was happy with that. You know, I needed to treat myself to something because I was neglecting my coiffure for a while there. Starting to look like I was like a swamp person.
Oh, stop. Well, I think it looks fabulous. So is that the highlights in your hair right now? Because I can see some gold going through it.
He has a lot. He did these really great gold highlights without using bleach.
Awesome! Wow. You know how incredible that is.
Impressed with that.
Yeah, I'm impressed because.
And then he wasn't like, "Oh, well, you have to come back." You know, every now he's like, "Don't even come back for like another 3 months."
Oh wow!
And he's like, "No, they're gonna get lighter, and I gave you a really good haircut. You won't need to like trim it for another 3 months." And it was reasonable, you know. It's a family-owned salon. I guess it's family-owned. But no, he's one of the founders, and he's been there. It's been there for 25 years. So I'm glad I went there because it's a nice mom-and-pop business. You know, that they've been around for a long time. You know, you don't hear that often in
Very
Miami
impressive.
For businesses lasting that long. And it was nice, you know. It wasn't super fancy, but it was clean, and staff was friendly, and...
Well, that's nice. But you know that it's so hard to...
I wanted to support my local business, so that's why I went there.
You should keep going back to him, because, you know, it's so hard for a redhead to go blonde. It takes him longer.
Well, I'm not really a redhead. I'm more of a brunette.
Yeah,
But I had red before, and I wanted to get rid of that and then look a little, just like little lift, you know.
Yeah, but and I'm just trying to tell you, it's hard to do that.
It's exactly. So,
no,
I will
go
back to him, you know, because now it's like, he's like, no, this will get better. I can't do everything all at once, right? But next time, if you want to go lighter, then I can do that. But we have to, like, establish,
that's awesome.
It's like working on a canvas.
Good.
So let's go in 3 months, you know, I'll be... And he's like, do you go to the beach? And I'm like, no. But I go fishing. But when I go fishing, nothing of my body is exposed to the sun.
Uh-huh.
I wear a burqa, you know, practically. So I'm like, my hair is not going to get a lot of sun, don't worry. Always wear a hat, of course.
Of course.
When
you're out
on the water. So, but that's okay.
Well, you're like me when
you're
out in the sun.
I don't know, Tanya, there may be a tarpon fishing tournament in my future very soon. But I don't have enough information on that, and I'm very excited about that.
Wow, you can keep me posted there. That sounds like fun.
My what?
I said keep me posted because that sounds like fun.
Oh,
tarpon
yeah.
Fishing?
I thought you said bikini posted.
No, keep me posted.
I don't fish in a bikini. I don't want to scare the fish.
Oh, stop.
You know?
Stop.
Anyway, I definitely. Now, I have some exciting things. I actually have a couple of exciting, very exciting job things coming up, and one of them may actually have to do with fishing.
Awesome.
So that's pretty exciting.
No, that's
or
awesome.
Related to clients that have to do with fishing. So and maybe even pirates.
But, fishing and pirates. Everything you like is happening soon. to be covered.
Yeah, and I can make money. At it, not that I can, you know, you make it and then it goes away suddenly, but yeah, I'm really loving my gig with One Soft Beach. It's really like, it's very relaxing, and we have editorial meetings every week, and some of what I write is
awesome.
Not hardcore, but you know, it's cool. I'm really liking.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Gig, so. But with the stuff that that is imminent, I'll probably be able to announce it next week. So I will keep you posted on that.
Yeah, definitely. Let me know. Let's round up the show. I'm going to go ahead and do a few birthday wish. Do you have any birthday wish or birthday shout out?
I can't remember any off the top of my head. There's some, some really cool people have had birthdays in the past couple of weeks. So happy birthday to you all.
Well, I want to wish Dave Javrin happy birthday, and also Scott Brooke. Happy birthday, Scott, and Stephen Mosley. Happy birthday. So, but everybody have a great, wonderful day. It's a beautiful day today on Tuesday compared to Saturday that was horrific in weather. But today is gorgeous, and I want everyone to have a fun day. And make sure you tune in tomorrow to Social Chats No Aging with Sandra Lopez and myself from 1 to 2 p.m. on socialchats.net. And Maria, always a pleasure. You have a great week. I will chat with you next week. And keep me posted about all your upcoming events.
Thank you, Tanya.
Have a great day, Maria. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.